So this is a familiar story. We've heard it many, many times from Sunday school all the way up to hearing sermons in church on it. And many times the lesson to be learned from the story of the prodigal son involves the foolishness of the son and the love of the father. It reflects us straying and how God welcomes us back. So let's review real quick. Man has two sons. One day the younger son says, "Hey, Pop, give me my part of the inheritance." And dad says, "Okie dokie," and divides all that he has between his two sons. As I got older, I was like, why the heck would a father do that at this point in his life? It's not very realistic. But anyhow, the father does it. A few days later, Junior liquidates his half and he travels off to a distant, erotic country. And once there, he blows that wad of cash on wine, women, and song. And pretty soon, he runs out of money. And just about that time, there's a famine that hits his little slice of heaven here on earth. He's got no money. He's got no friends. And he's got to hire himself out. So now he's feeding pigs out in the field. And every day, he is envying the slop that he's feeding to the pigs. Have you ever seen what pigs eat? A pig will pretty much eat almost anything, and it can be really disgusting. Can you imagine being that desperate to eat that you're going to consider eating pig slop? Finally dawns on the son that, hey, you know, my dad's workers eat better than I do now, so he devises a plan to go home and beg to be one of his father's hired hands. And the father, instead of being angry, warmly welcomes him back, dresses him in a nice robe, kills the fatted calf, and has a party. Not what you would expect. Now, I'd like us to go back in this story to the point where the son has spent all of his money and that he is in desperate need. He's got no money, and he gets hired at a very, very lowly job because that's all he could probably get. But at this point, he does have another choice, doesn't he? He realizes later, hey, I can go back. And I can return to my father. Now, he didn't have to deal with all of this pain and suffering and envying the pigs eating their slop. He wouldn't have had to put up with all of that suffering if he had immediately gone back to his father. So why didn't he just do that? Go right back to his father. Have you ever gotten yourself into a situation where you had absolutely, positively screwed something up? Totally. I bet you that we all have had that in our lives. So, participation time. How did you feel when you were in that situation? What were some of the feelings?
Defeated.
Helpless. What's that?
Helpless.
Hopeless. So what possibly could the prodigal son have been feeling? And yes, I'm quite sure that he felt these things. But I think there's three major things that contributed to his hesitation to going home. The first of which was guilt. He felt guilty for asking his father for his half of the inheritance. He felt guilty probably for when he realized that he had spent what was probably a substantial amount of money on only pleasures. He felt guilty of being a foolish person. He also probably felt afraid. He was afraid of returning to his father a failure, of returning to what he was quite sure would be his father's great wrath. And he felt shame. He felt that he was going to have to spend the rest of his life no longer being a son, but simply a common hired hand. Sound familiar? How many of us today feel that same way when things don't go the way that we planned? Well, screwed that up. Can't recover from this, no way. I am so stupid. How am I going to be able to tell my boss, my spouse, my children, my family, what I have done? I'm going to get harshly judged for this. When our expectations of perfection, of being perfect, are not achieved, we feel guilt, shame, fear, hopelessness. When things go wrong, we are our harshest critic. A lot of times we go straight to the worst case scenario in our mind and how our decisions are fatal. That there's no way to take and come back from this. We stop trying new things. We stop trying to be creative because that risk it's just too great. It's too great that I'm going to fail. It's too great that I'm not going to take and do this perfectly. And the problem with doing that is we withdraw and we don't get better at whatever it is, get better at life. We don't learn how to get better because we're afraid. We're afraid of the consequences of our actions. But the reality of the situation is that in many cases when we do err and when we do think that we have lost it all, that things are not really so bad. We need to have courage to face what we have done, to acknowledge that we have done wrong, and we need to have faith that the judgment that will be given to us will not be as harsh as we may think. A lot of the times when we do fess up about this grievous error that we have made, our spouse, our boss, our friends will actually help us to figure out how to correct what we have messed up. We need to keep in mind what happened to the prodigal son. He expected to go home and have his father ream him out for what a foolish, foolish son that he was. And to have the father say, okay, you're no longer my son. You're just a hired hand. Get out of my sight. He didn't come home to that. What he came home to was a father who did not judge him, who loved him, and was just happy that he was back. None of us will be even close to being perfect in anything that we do. We can move towards perfection by moving forward, by not letting things get us down. We need to remember that we live in an environment where we know we will be loved anyway, no matter what we do. And by doing so, we are more free to live fully and more hospitably ourselves. With the help of God and our Lord Jesus, we can get out of the pigsty, stop wallowing around, and we can get into a better and good enough life. Now, we've talked a lot about living a good enough life over the past couple of weeks since Ash Wednesday. There's a couple of things that I don't think I've adequately said about this good enough life. I'd like to take a moment to talk about that. A good enough life is not a life about not striving for excellence. It's not a life where we go about doing the absolute bare minimum to get by. It's about letting go of our expectation of everything needing to be perfect. It's about living without all the baggage that keeps us from enjoying our lives, our families, and all the joy that there is for us in life. The good enough life allows us to fully receive all the joy, the love, and the peace that God wants to give us. So a good enough life is striving for perfection, knowing that we will never get there, giving it our best shot, learning from our mistakes, and moving on, and having, again, that full, rich life. And only way that we're going to be able to live this good enough life, only way that it is possible is with the guidance, the love, and the caring, and the grace of God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And this, my friends, is a life worth living. Amen.